Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Love the Lord this morning. He's worthy of praise, isn't he? He's worthy of adoration. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God every day that we can get up in the morning and worship him and praise him all the day long. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, taking a continued look at which we started off with the declaration of the 42nd generation. And we're talking about his seed, aren't we? That he has a seed, doesn't he? Unless a corn of wheat fall on the ground and dies, it what does what? It abides alone. But he has a seed, doesn't he? And the other night we took a look at these things were written for the generation to come, amen? And it's not so much in a sense that the generation is down the road or looking at that type of thought. We have to look at it in every natural generation. Out of that will come those, right? For the generation. Amen? And God writes these things down so that you and I can understand and know. We talked about on Wednesday night when the Lord shall build up what? Zion. When the Lord does it. Amen? And then it says something wonderful. He shall appear in his glory. This is why I believe that it's written that no man knows the time, right? They don't know the day or the hour at all. And the reason is this. We can know the seasons, can't we? When's the season? Now, right? But in his appearing in Zion, amen, is when he will completely build a habitation, all right? And so he wrote these things down for the generation to come. The people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. That's a huge key, isn't it? You know, I don't know about you, but I mean, me personally, I don't need music or anything to praise the Lord or anything like that. But I'll tell you what, music makes it easier, doesn't it? So if you have a little struggle with, you know, praising the Lord, turn on a little music. Amen. Are you with me? All right. And then we talked about he wants to declare his name or the name of the Lord where? In Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, doesn't he? Hallelujah. And we took a quick look. I don't want to spend a lot of time there. We talked about the highest realm in the church, right? Or we talked about Zion being that place because what does it say? He's going to do what? He's going to appear in Zion, right? He's going to build up Zion. He's going to appear in his glory, isn't he? All right. And we also talked about Zion. Now, we have to understand something. When we were going home the other night, Wednesday night, as we were driving down the road, Dale had mentioned, and he actually mentioned it on the way to church this morning, someone made a 4x8 sign, and the letters are like, about a zillion font, right? It said, must sell. Is that what it said? What did it actually say? Didn't say for sale. Something about must sell. Must sell, right? Must sell. Someone was selling their house, and they had a realtor sign out there, a normal size, but they wanted people's attention, didn't they? So they put this big old sign out there, must sell. And the other night, when we were going home, he said, did you see that? And I said, no, I didn't see it at all. I missed it, you know. But I really missed it because I was really kind of focused on something else because I began to hear the Lord say something about Zion. And so this morning, he said, here's the sign I was talking about. And I said, yeah, yeah. He said, I don't know how you missed it. But I said, well, I missed it because I was looking into another dimension. I was watching the road, but I wasn't watching the road. I wasn't looking at my surroundings. Amen. But God began to talk to me about Zion, that Zion is a whole different picture, or Jerusalem is a whole different picture. It's a city in the country of Israel. There's a lot of Israelites, Christians. But the only folks that really are ever able to dwell in Zion are those that do what? We read it the other night. They have to overcome. And it really brings meaning to the statement. Watch this. It's one thing to be able to declare we're kings and priests before our God, but how do I become a king or a priest? We have to walk in the mode of overcoming, don't we? We have to arise. We have to ascend into Zion. Listen, think about this. Well, we have to walk in that third dimension, don't we? Are you with me? This is the place he's building, isn't it? Listen, all of Israel was the kingdom. Are you with me? All of Israel was the kingdom. But not everybody was a king. We know how to become a king, don't we? He who overcomes, will I grant to do what? Sit down. See, that fulfills Ephesians chapter 3, where he declared that we are seated with him in heavenly places. The fulfillment of that is when you and I overcome. And there's this vast gap, isn't there? A vast gap. Yeah, look, it took 40 years to go from Egypt to the promised land, didn't it? And that only brought them into the borders. It didn't even give them any power in the land until they took possession of it. And they didn't even really take full possession because they still allowed the things that they liked to remain. Amen? Are you with me? So we understand the highest realm is where? Zion, isn't it? It's the highest hill. It's the highest spirit. The anti-type, if I can use that term, on the other side of the coin is what? What's the highest realm? Death. Right? So it has to be conquered. Well, watch, we say highest, the Bible says last. Take your pick, right? You know, and we know 7 or 3, it's the same, right? They're the same in biblical numbers, right? 7 from Adam, 3 from Jesus. We understand all that, right? Do you remember when we did Samson? I was just thinking about this the other day, but do you remember when we did Samson? Everybody talks about Peter walking through the gate or the doors and all that. And you know, the Bible really doesn't say that, you know, and it's okay. I have no problem. If we want to believe that, that's fine. But he went through the first ward, and he went through the second ward until he got past the iron gate. Come on, what is the iron gate? It's death. Isn't it? I mean, we could, no matter what, we could do whatever we needed to do to bring health and vitality into the Bible. But until we put on incorruption and immortality, the iron gate is still there. But we have a forerunner who broke through the veil of the flesh. So that means you and I have hope. Watch this. What do we have hope in? We have hope. We have an anchor to our soul. Where is it in? It's anchored beyond the veil. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know. You don't seem too excited this morning. I've not passed through the iron gate yet, but I have an anchor. Are you with me? All right. And so then he says, then we took a city, he would declare this, where unto my, I'll declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. Psalms 102, remember that? Unto my brother in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. And we looked over into Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, where it says he basically repeats it, doesn't he? Doesn't he? So we have to understand that God is building up a generation. He wrote these things down for a generation. He is building a people. I've said all, ever since we started, the Lord sent us out or commissioned us to become to start a church. I've never, ever, ever had the mindset, let's build a church in the sense of more people. My mindset's always been to build a people. And like Jonathan declared, whether it's one or many, with the Lord, it does not matter. That's why it doesn't matter if there's only one person in here praising the Lord, or if there's 1,000. It doesn't matter to the Lord. Are you with me? All right. Now turn with me. Let's see, where do I want to go? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. All right. All right, here we go. Well, we can read this, verse 12 first. Are you there? I don't want to go too fast. Is everybody there? Are you all warming up now? If you were hot or cold or whatever, you feeling better? Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name, right? Unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now, we know, I'll just shoot back without going to show you there. You guys just have to take my word and either go check it out for yourself later. But listen, when he says my brethren, we know who's talking here, right? It's Jesus, right? Because he said, the Bible says in Romans 8:29, he's the firstborn of many brethren. So we know that he's not alone. Because if he was alone, there was no sense of him going in the ground, right? Right? Okay, here we go. So he will declare, right? So we're talking about brethren now, right? And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Now, all of a sudden, there's a shift here. And what I want to talk about this morning, I hope I can do this. I want to talk about brethren and children. Okay? Are you with me? All right. Now, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Now, what we just read over in Hebrews, the writer, whoever it is, you know, great debates of whoever wrote Hebrews, to me it doesn't really matter. I always look at it like this. The bottom line is Jesus wrote the whole Bible, right? It's like a powerhouse. There's many different houses that receive it, and I have different receptacles all through the different parts of the house, but the source is all the same, all right? I told you that story once before, right? But here we go. Now let's look at this. Now what did we say over there? He's going to do what? What did we say in 13? What did we say? He said, I'll put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, right? Is that not the case? But we just read, we also read that the verse before, he said, he talked about his brethren. So here we have a verse with talking about brethren, and now we have a verse talking about children. All right? Are you with me? So look at verse 18. Isaiah 8, verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders. Where? In Israel, from the Lord of hosts, which does what? Dwelleth where? In Mount Zion. Now this verse is a mouthful, isn't it? It's a mouthful, isn't it? Behold, I and the children. Now, and I'll get there in a few minutes, and you're going to have to give me some liberties this morning, but I'm just going to ask, I like to ask rhetorical questions. You know that. It's because I like to make you think, right? Because, listen, if there's children, there has to be a what? A father. Is that not so? And in the midst of the children, you have siblings or brethren. Okay, it's not gender preference right here. We're not talking gender this morning. We're talking completely about the seed, because what is the seed? Christ. In Christ, there's neither rich or poor, right? Rich or poor, or you know, Jew or Greek. He deals with all the aspects of life, doesn't he? He hits the social class, he hits the gender class, and he hits the ethnic class, doesn't he? Because then you don't have to worry about any of that. So we have here now, don't we? Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but you have to come to an understanding that you are a sign and a wonder. The word sign is nothing more than a signal, a flag, a beacon, a monument, an omen. How about this? A prodigy. How about this? Your evidence. Are you with me? How about this? A mark, a miracle, a sign, an ensign, a token. Now, I'd like to preach on ensign, but I won't spend that time now. Are you with me? Is everybody okay with that? All right. And watch this. The root word means to come. In other words, you come forth. It also means assent and consent. All right? Now the word wonders, are you with me? Here we go. It means conspicuousness, a miracle, by implication, a token or an omen, a miracle, a sign, a wonder, wondered, wonder act. All right? And it comes from a word. Watch this. The root word, it means to be bright. That is, by implication, beautiful. Hello? Be beautiful. Be fair. Be make self fair. Fairer. Deck. Like, you know, deck the halls. We say that, right? Okay. Come on, this is what he's really talking about. This is what God's... This is why he had children. No. Can you hear what I'm saying? No, can you hear what he's saying? This thing was written for things to, for generations to come, so that you and I can understand. Listen, he had children to express himself. Are you with me? Now, we're talking about a 42nd generation, right? I like this in the sense that Jesus, he ended the old and started the new. 41 generations of natural man. But even how he came on the scene wasn't even like how you and I came on the scene. That aspect of how he came into the earth happens to you and I in the new birth or the rebirth or the regeneration, right? Come on, the Holy Ghost comes. And listen, even when we go, first of all, we can't even repent unless the Holy Ghost gives us repentance, the Bible says. Is that not true? And once we repent and we have what? Faith toward God and good works towards him in the sense of, listen, I'm going to follow him from this moment on. That's only a born-again experience, right? That's what makes up Israel. That's what makes up Israel. The kingdom in that aspect. But you and I must come to the waters of baptism and by faith, again, out of the realm of the Spirit, you and I must be what? Circumcised. Hello? To even enter in to all that God wants. Are you with me? Hello? We're going somewhere this morning. Emergency, emergency. Are you with me? But listen, he says, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me. Are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Hang on, I want to... Are you with me now? Is everybody okay? So we now understand that, listen, Jesus also was a sign and a wonder, wasn't he? We could go to, I think it was in Luke, where he said that he would be a sign for the rising and the falling of many. Didn't it say that? Huh? Is that what it says? So he's a sign. So not only is, I'm gonna give you my punchline right now, and we'll get to it. I guess I'll give you my punchline and have to lay it out to prove it to you. But Jesus is not only our brother, he's our father. See, these are the great mysteries that many folks, and I hope I can help us today. I hope I can help even some of the stuff in my own heart and mind. But listen to me. These are the great things that get debated about, and there's no debate. There's no debate. The scriptures are clear. You just have to have faith to believe. Are you with me? How can he be? Listen, do you understand this? When man couldn't do it, God wrapped himself in flesh. God himself wrapped himself in flesh and came down here and did it. He did it. See, well, how could, I'll never forget this. I'll never forget this. When the Lord got a hold of me, and for whatever reason, they wanted me to be a Sunday school teacher. So I became a Sunday school teacher, and I had kids that were 10 years old. That's all they were, 10 years old. Right? And I mean, I had no clue what I was even going to teach these kids because, geez, I wasn't even a great studier or anything at that time. And I remember driving to church that morning and I thought I had a lesson. But all of a sudden I heard the Lord say to me, I want you to teach them this lesson. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so I began to share that all with them. And then you know what question they had out of all that? Well, how can Jesus be God? How does he pray to himself? Jesus, I didn't have an answer. Even though I knew that Jesus was God. How many like math? How many believe math? Right? Watch this. Seriously. It's so simple if you want to put it in common terms for us, right? I made this statement. Listen, God is the great mathematician, isn't he? This is why he can divide himself and never come up short. Tell me, what is 1 divided by 1? 1. What is 2 divided by 2? It's still 1. What is 3 divided by 3? It is still 1. What is infinity divided by infinity? It's still 1. What is unlimitedness and unlimited divided by? It's still 1. What is God divided by himself? He's still 1. He's still 1. That's why he can be God and Jesus the Father. Watch this. And inside of you, this is the whole thing that Jesus said in John 17. Father, watch this. This is what Philip didn't understand. Have I been with you so long that you don't even see the Father? Don't you understand I am the Father? See, because God can divide himself and never be short. He can subtract from himself and never be short. He can add to himself and never have too much. He can multiply himself and, yeah, that's who he is. Are you with me? Are you all right? He's both the Father and the brother. Watch this. Think of it this way. You want another look at it, right? He was the end of the 41st. Come on, he became the last Adam. He didn't become the second Adam. There was no second Adam. He became the last Adam. You know, as great as Adam was in the garden, all the way down to this point here, God wiped out Adam. I mean, they're not all done away with yet. But Adam will come to an end. How do you know that? Flesh and blood cannot. And the only thing that can happen is out of Adam, so to speak, is you have to have a new birth. Where? In Christ. But watch, all the way Jesus became the last Adam, he ended it, but all of a sudden, he stepped into this realm of the seed. Hello? Come on, he had to put on everything that God had ever intended. Wait, everything that he ever intended himself. Didn't he? And what he had to do was this. He had to start a whole new seed. So not only did he become father, he became the firstborn brother of the new seed. That's why he said this. Watch. Unless a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, unless I give up my life of this new generation, guess what? There can't come forth any more. Come on, watch this. We've not yet got this. No greater love hath any man than he what? Lay down his life. For who? Are you all right this morning? Are you with me? I'll stay focused. There's so many things running through my mind I'd like to say, but I won't. I just want to stay focused. Are you with me? So Jesus is a sign and a wonder, isn't he? But so are you. Now listen, I've never been to Israel over there, and I don't know that I'll ever go to Israel over there. I don't have any yearning to go, okay? A lot of, hey, let's go to the Holy Land. Let me tell you, he said, wherever you put your feet is holy. So, I mean, I don't want to get religious like some people. You know, I don't even care about that nonsense. But are you with me? The true Israel of God, watch, who's a true Jew? One who is what? Circumcised of the heart. Right? That's a true Jew. You cut away the old. Are you with me? But it's interesting, we've already said this. Listen, Jesus has been given some children. This is why Jesus, I think it's in John 17, he said this. Watch this. This is what he says. He said, I don't pray for the world. I think the church should have a newsflash. He doesn't pray for the world. He said, I pray for those that he has put in my hands, that he has given me. I fully don't understand this yet, but the Bible says this very clearly. He knows whose are the Lord's. I've heard a lot of folks over the course of years say he knows who will and who won't. But he knows. Are you with me? See, we have to get over the mentality that everybody's equal. They all have equal opportunity. Because look, if you don't think so, watch this. The whole principle is in Ruth, the Moabite. Listen, if God knows who will and who won't, right? Listen, you might have been born into a family, and you have full opportunity, but if you don't take it, he'll give it to a Ruth. He will. Are you with me? Anybody want to tell me why he will? Come on, listen to me. You probably don't understand this or you don't get this yet, but I'll tell you why he'll do it. Because his purpose is greater than anything else. And he says he's going to have a family. He's going to have a seed. Watch this. The problem that most folks have to... it's not a problem. They need to understand this. Watch. The only reason that God had to step outside of the boundary of picking Ruth the Moabite was because of Naomi the Israelite wouldn't do it. First thing she did was she left the house of bread. And she went down into Moab. Self-producers. I can do this on my own. Anybody know how Moab came into being? Lot and his daughter. A different father, wasn't it? A different father mentality. All right, I don't want to waste time on that. I don't want to muddle your brains. Are you with me? So we know that Jesus, he is a father, isn't he? But he was not a father in his humanity, was he? Even though some folks try to say he was. But that's a different story. But he is a father. Are you with me? Whew. Now, and we also know this too, right? He had to give up his life. His soul was an offering, wasn't it? See, what we don't understand is because of Adam's mishap in the garden, everybody knows this, it was not, watch this, God didn't cut down a tree, right? He didn't raise some plants. No. He killed some animals. And then he clothed them. Because the only thing that will ever cover us is blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He had to shed blood. But in order to do it for humanity, I'm all messed up today. Are you with me? Listen to me. Do you understand how great God's love is for us? It just didn't show up in the way of human emotion. It showed up in a way that said, I have to do this through the possibility of choice. Jesus stood right in the garden and he said, Father, in all of his humanity, he said, Father, if it is possible, if you can wiggle my way out of this, I can't take the pressure. Do you see the blood? I'm sweating out of me. But he said, nevertheless, he stepped up above that. See, if you and I could only get a hold of this, that, hey, we still have frail mortal man as a earthen vessel here, and humanity still pulls on us, but we have a spirit that's inside of us that we can step up and beyond, because it's a seed. It's an eternal seed. Our Father has given us life to go beyond. Well, what if something bad happens? I'm going to tell you what. Listen to me. I said this to you guys the other night, but it bears repeating. David, he had a hunger for God, and he wanted to put the presence of God back in its right place. He wanted to bring it into Zion, and he wanted to bring it back to the house of Israel. It was not in its proper location, but he had an idea to put it on a cart. And the minute it got on a cart, and it began to move, and everything was fine and dandy. They were praising the Lord, and everything was going on. But all of a sudden, God said, there has to come a threshing floor or a shaking. I'll shake the heavens and the earth one more time. And when things begin to shake, you know what happened? Uzzah, he reached out. He laid hold and tried to stabilize things. And good people die. When we try to take control, do you know what Uzzah's name means? Strength. You know what David said? There was a breach of Uzzah. Because there had to be a breaking of human strength and consideration of trying to stabilize God even in a man-made path. This is why he gave us his spirit. See, Jesus didn't say anything, but nevertheless, and I'm telling you, what was the name of the last movie we saw? Was it the Bible or what it was? I'll tell you what, it gave me, I think Jesus got some glimpse all of a sudden. The Father, he held everything back as him, the Son. He couldn't see everything, and all of a sudden he got a glimpse of getting a beating. And then he got a glimpse of hanging on that cross. He does that for us, doesn't he? Because he knows this one thing. He who loses his life shall find it. And they love not their lives, suitcase. You see, here's the part that most folks miss, and I wanted you to never forget it. We sang the song this morning, and it's okay, but let me tell you, he breathed into Adam a living soul. But listen, he made Christ a quickening spirit. It changes everything. It changes the order. Jesus had to have the possibility of choice in the garden to understand the great depth of God's love. For without the possibility of choice, it's force. And we all know what happens when you force love, right? It's against the law, even if there's no law. I don't know. Listen, there was no law when Cain killed Abel. Do not kill. But in the heart of God, it was against his nature, his character. But because of Cain's daddy, he couldn't recognize it. But isn't it interesting that Abraham paid tithe and offerings before Levi ever showed up? And I might have to retract something I said, because I'm going to tell you something. I used to think this, and I don't know if it's changed or not, but everybody's going to have to come in through water baptism, even the folks that were before. But you know what? Maybe God accounts that for righteousness because of all the things that they did in their time frame. Truth of the matter is, if there's millions of people, I don't want to go back and have to baptize them. I just say, Lord, you let it be done. Because you, come on, he accounted Abraham paying tithes, even though that the law or the rule or play by the rules hadn't showed up yet. But he was able to move by the Spirit of Christ. Phew, come on, can you hear what he's saying to us today? I mean, this thing's bigger than our minds. All because of his great love, his mercy, his grace. And I don't want to teach on that, but let me tell you, get over to Hebrews chapter 4. You have to go find it and obtain it. Amen. He gave us a glimpse. We're saved by grace. He gave us just a glimpse at the beginning, but the rest you have to track down that you might find grace. Are you with me? Here we go. Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? So there's signs and wonders in Israel, right? The prophet Isaiah declared this, didn't he? Come on, how many years before? 600-700 years before. You know, I used to say this. I used to use Isaiah as an example personally. People would say to me, you believe that you will never die? I said, well, you know, I believe the possibility exists, because if the Bible says this, there will be some that will not sleep, and mortal will put on immortality, and corruption will put on incorruption. Well, I don't know how you can believe that. So I said, listen, do you believe the prophet Isaiah? I bet there was a lot of folks that went to the grave thinking he was a false prophet because no Messiah ever showed up. I like this. Let me tell you something. If I was to die, don't let that trip you up. Don't let that mess up your head. I remember when your mama died, people were saying right in the backyard, they're saying, well, I wonder if they still believe in life. Yes! Because life is just not an event. It's a person. An eternal realm. See, this is why Paul said this. Listen, some will sleep in Jesus. They'll go to sleep. But then he declared in another place, he said, not death, nor life. Because the seed, right? The only way we can ever miss the boat, can I use that term? Is if we come short of his rest and get disqualified. That's the only way. There's no other way. Are you with me? And watch. Being disqualified may not be the way you think you might be. Hello? I mean, I made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I'm sure I'm going to make a lot more. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to pursue him. Whew. Are you with me? Now, we know that the Lord dwells in Zion, doesn't he? God dwelling in you and I. See, a lot of folks might have trouble with this, but if I want to bring it over into the New Testament, and the truth of the matter is this, we hear this, right? Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. And we have to understand that the word you, we got to get it out of the singular. And really understand, because if you keep it in the singular all the time, you'll be self-centered. That's me and Jesus. No, it's Christ in and among, it's the Zion of God, isn't it? It's a habitation. That's why it says this. That's why Isaiah prophesied. See, this is why I like this, okay? I do, personally. Maybe you don't, but I do. I love that Jesus spoke of himself, concerning himself, in the whole Bible. Starting with Moses. Through the prophets. Because right now, right here, this verse, that we, when it talks about dwelling in Zion, what he's talking about is Christ in and among us all. Isn't he? That God. I can still remember Brian, Uncle Brian. I can remember up in the building up there. He said, I can't even comprehend how God, who created everything, wants to live inside of me. All of who he is, the one who can divide himself and still not be. Two divided by two is what? One. The two become one. That's all you ever wanted to do. That's all you ever wanted. And not by force. That's why you gave Adam a choice in the garden. You know, I don't know about you. If God would have just left that tree out, it'd have been easier for us. Wouldn't it? Adam would have never had to make that choice. And because of that choice, God's wiped out a lot of stuff, hasn't he? I mean, we would have wiped it out right then and there. Truth of the matter, if we had had the insight of God, we just wouldn't have even made him to begin with. We would have recreated it a whole different way. But God doesn't work that way because he is love in that dimension. And so therefore, his love demanded a response in the same equity of giving. For without it, it would have not been true love. Wouldn't have been pure. And this is why he started all over. See, come on, the type. I'm all messed up today. Did not Peter write this, that at Noah's was a baptism? Didn't he say it? He did, didn't he? It's because what did he do? He killed everything that was old and the ones that had grace. Because Noah found grace. Where? In the sight. How about this? In the vision of God. He understood what God really wanted. See, that's what will keep you and I. Truly understanding what God wants. I mean, I'll make a lot of mistakes. I'll offend you and I'll utterly tick you off at times. But I'm going to tell you. Keep it. He'll change us. He'll change us. No, come on. Can you hear what he... You're not even excited today. Oh, let me jump for you. Are you with me today? Seed. It's a seed, isn't it? It's a seed. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Whew. Okay, where do I want to go now? Turn with me to Isaiah. Let's see. Let's go here. Isaiah chapter 9. Are you enjoying this? Are you learning anything? Oops, I went the wrong way. Sorry about that. Isaiah chapter 9. Now, are you ready? Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Did you hear that? Now, who are we talking about? Jesus? How do you know that? He talks about it. Well, we could go here. A child is born. Where was that? Where did that happen? Where? Where did the child get born? Bethlehem. Wasn't a trick question, guys. The question is now, let's see if we can get, where was the son given? Uh-oh. Nope. I'm talking about in the earth. That's fine. That's a cheating answer there. Well, where was he given? No? Nope. I'll give you a hint. This is my beloved son in who I am. Where did that happen? At his baptism with the Jordan. Exactly. Took how many years? 30 years. I'm born again. I should be somebody. No. No. Process. How's it said, right? You've heard this before. Come on. Many are called and few are chosen. There's a huge process in between. How do I know that? Straight is the gate. Jesus is the straight gate. And what? Narrowing is the way. As Corey so wonderfully pointed out to us, you lose some things along the path, don't you? How do I know that? Watch. How do I know that? How do you know that? Watch. The simple illustration of wheat. It gets harvested, and then it has to be what? Winnowed, or right? Or brought to the threshing floor. But then what do? They take it and they, and the wind of the Spirit takes away the, or how about another analogy? Fire burns up the what? The wood, hay, and the stubble. Or we heat up the refining pot for the silver, or hotter yet for the gold, because it gets the what? The dross off. But the Lord ponders the heart, so it must get a little hotter still. Because he said this, watch, different kind of furnace. Out of the furnace of... So then Brother Job can declare to you and I by true experience, watch this, that I know this, and when he gets done with me, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be exactly what he wants. Or Jeremiah said it like this, stay on the potter's wheel no matter how dizzy you get. Let him shape you. I like Beck's expression. It's true, isn't it? Are you with me? See, now we don't like this. And we're all liars. And the only people that are, really the truth of the matter is, only me, Sherry, and Danielle, and Corey, and you pretty soon, if Uncle Terry was here, he could relate to this. When you have babies, you want to shape them into what you think they should be. This is why we send them to what schools we want, to tell all these kind of things, right? Keep them home, do whatever we do, because they're our children. What makes God any different? Look, we can have extremes, right? Hippies can go out and live in a commune and do all that, right? And they tell people, it's none of your business how I run my child or raise my child. Is that not true? See, the government wants to do the same thing, though, don't they? But the reality is God has given us the sovereignty of being able to raise our children. Watch. Under the guidance and influence of the Holy Ghost. You're going to make mistakes. Yeah. Listen, the greatest, what you do, listen, the greatest lesson any parent, especially first parents, could ever learn is this. You've never been a parent before. It's going to happen. But because God, never being a parent, but he's the all in all, knows how to parent or father, doesn't he? And watch this. Our Father, Jesus, has the experience of raising children. Watch this, because any parent knows how to raise a child if they have the right experience. See, if I use the term normal, we wouldn't know what normal is today. But we know that Jesus had the right experience. Watch, the work of the cross became his way of the cross. And this is why he says to you and I, raising us, pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, watch this. Are you listening to me? Everybody listen. Follow me, son. I have experience. And if you follow in my footsteps, I guarantee you, you will make it. I didn't say you wouldn't have troubles. I already told you would. But be of good cheer. I overcame those troubles. See? I know we know this, but I like saying it anyway. He is the answer or the solution to every issue I will have, or every tribulation or every pressure. The biggest fallacy that we got to get over in our own carnal minds is this: I'm not going to have trouble. It's not supposed to be this way. No, it is. Why? So we can overcome. Watch. What's the old saying I've heard since I was a little kid? You can't have a testimony unless you have a what? A test. Seriously. We've made testimonies about grandeur in us. I told you this. I heard 30 years ago when that old grandma said to her granddaughter, listen, next time you tell a testimony, everybody thinks it's great, but the next time you tell it, you make sure you leave you out and Jesus gets all the glory. Boy, has life changed. Are you with me? I'm all messed up today. I hope I'm doing any justice. Back to our verse. Does anybody know how I got sidetracked? He became a son where? At Jordan. He was matured, right? You know what I like about that? He hadn't had a miracle yet. He hadn't done anything yet. The father knew that he had went through the process. Watch, how did he do? Down at 12 years old, he was confounding the teachers, wasn't he? He was ready to go. No, he wasn't. He said it went home and he grew in spirit. Because that's what really needed to happen now. And he became what? Subject to who? That's why we have 10,000 boy teachers. And not many fathers. Because all we really want to do is train the ants and let them loose. We don't really care if they're growing up or not. The sad part is we don't even really care what happens to them. But a real father does. All right, enough of that. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the what? All of a sudden, if I know that we're talking about Jesus, he's the mighty God. He divided himself by himself, and he became two, became one. And watch this. Nah, see, I'm sorry. Tiffany, I'm being a little goofy today. Are you with me? Watch this. He divided himself by himself. He lacked nothing because he was everything. And he put it all in human flesh. Come on, he subjected himself with the same passions that you and I are subjected to. He didn't skirt the process. Now, I don't know about this. I can't verify it. I really do believe this, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's not a point of argument. I believe that when God created Adam, he didn't make him a baby and have him grow up. He didn't want diaper duty. That was a joke. You didn't even laugh. Are you with me? I believe he made him a 30-year-old man. Put him at the same place as Jordan. The same place as David when he came to the throne. Do you understand why David had three anointings before he ever came to the throne? Because God had to work all three dimensions of those anointings in his life. You and I could have the greatest gifts in the world, but if we don't let God work all of his anointings in us, they won't function. Watch this, the way he wants. Are you with me? Because you know why? He wants a seed after its own kind. Its own kind. A mighty God. Mighty God. Nothing can stop him. I hate to say this. There's only one thing that will ever interfere with a mighty God. You ready? It's the traditions of our mindsets. No matter how godly or religious they are, it makes the Word of God not effective. Well, this should be this way. Says who? It's only, listen, how many facets are in a diamond? How many ingredients are in a recipe? We lay hold of, you know, I tell you what. You know, I give Sherry credit for this. I used to always make French toast, and I put the cinnamon sugar. I never put vanilla in it, but now I put vanilla in it. I like the vanilla because I like that ingredient, right? But the whole thing isn't vanilla. It's just another ingredient. Are you with me? It's the same as the elephant in the room, right? I can describe that tail, but if I never get around to the trunk, I can name it and claim it, but if I never get around to other parts of Christianity, are you with me? Okay. What did I say? He's a mighty God. I said all that to get to this one point right here. The what? The what? Everlasting Father. So not only is he our brother, he is our Father. How can he be both? How can he pray to himself? Because you can take two divided by two and you still get one. You can take one of everything and divide it by one of everything and you still have one. Have I been with you so long? Seriously, Jesus didn't make everybody happy. How do you know that? I can't believe that. Well, why did they hang him on a cross then? It's because they couldn't see the Father. They couldn't see the Father in him. All they could see is how it affected them and their lifestyle. And we're so guilty of that at times. Are you with me? He's the everlasting Father. I told my mother and father, I wrote a very, very long little thing, text message. Because this week I was thinking about, I think I might have mentioned it. You know, I love to listen to Mark Hamby. And this is no slight against Mark Hamby or anything. I think God's given him a powerful gift of wisdom and understanding. He knows how to equate things and all. I thank God for that. But you know, the man's been married 3 times. I'm not saying his fault is irrelevant. But I take my mother and father to be almost 60 years next year. And they don't get the glory that a lot of folks get. Because God had planted inside of them truth and stability. And they kept themselves clean and pure. And a lot of folks have come and a lot of folks have gone. But it reminded me of the prophetic word that I got during the ordination service that said this. Because of your mother and father's foundation and the depth of it, it demands a superstructure to be built on top. That isn't numbers. Has nothing to do with numbers. Has nothing to do with glory. It has to do with everything of taking what the everlasting Father, that true foundation, watch this, and put in a son, that true superstructure, and put it in a people. It's the only reason we're here. It's to be the seed of Christ and express him in every dimension of our lives. Faults, failures, without a doubt. We're an earthen vessel. But let him chip away, mold, shape. Let him keep. And even if you go to sleep, it's not going to affect him. It doesn't affect him. It just doesn't. I know the word slipped out of my mouth, and I've said it before. I'd like to write a little something about this. Most of Christians are searching for a fountain of youth because they want the human aspect of their life to continue to flourish and prosper. There's nothing wrong with that. But what he wants us to drink from is not a fountain of youth. Revelation says a fountain of life. It's a whole other dimension. And it only comes from one place, another seed. Not an Adamic seed with all the potential of nothing. It has no potential left. It's all been done away with in Christ. Because without a new birth, we can never, ever enter in to the eternal phases, places of God's life. I'm not going back. I'm going forward. It's a huge... Can I say it? Can I talk about it? Can I just say it? I woke up this morning, you know, and I was thinking about this. Are you ready for this? Come on. The man with all the demons in the tombs, right? In the tombs. And he came and Jesus had to deliver him. And the word tomb is memory. Memories. All of his memories. They're death to us. It'll cause us to make decisions for today or tomorrow. But do you understand, when Jesus delivered him from his memories, he did it on the other side of a grave, didn't he? Grace, when you and I die to self. That born-again experience, it's an ongoing work. But I got thinking about this. Do you know why we say goodnight? And then we say good morning? Because we say goodnight because we're going to end the old. Good night, it's over. And then we say good morning to embrace the possibilities of an endless life for that day. Because whatever memory I had of yesterday is irrelevant to the endless possibilities of today. Are you with me? God doesn't care how we got here. It doesn't even bother him. He knows. He knows everything, whether it's good or bad, because he's a father and he has his eye going to and fro, keeping an eye on his children wherever they go, because he only has one determination for them, and it's the best. I have a mind full of you. I only have good thoughts for you. Those kind of things will just mess people up when he creates darkness and all the other things they don't like. Only because of the possibilities of choice to show us his endless love. Are you with me? He's after something in our lives, isn't he? What's he after? The seed. Peter says we've not been born of corruptible things like what? Silver and gold. Messages of redemption and immortality. No, he says, it's an incorruptible seed. All right, let's stand. It's an incorruptible seed, isn't it? And an incorruptible seed cannot do what? Die. Are you with me this morning? I don't know. We serve a mighty God, don't we? We have an everlasting Father. What was the last one? Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. The Bible says to pray for peace. That's what it says in Philippians, doesn't it? Watch. It also says this. It says, so righteousness in peace. Blessed are the what? Peacemakers. For they shall what? Be called the sons of God. Yeah, we had that this week, didn't we? He messes me up sometimes. I don't know why he does that. Oh, wait. He shakes us, doesn't he? Everything that can be shaken. That's what I told my parents when I wrote them the email. I said, listen, it says in Hebrews, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. He says, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. He said, but everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Why? So the things that cannot be shaken will remain. Watch, a foundation. You know, you want to know another thing? I laid in bed this morning. My mind was just like, meow. Do you know something? Seriously, think about this. I went to every place in the Bible that I possibly could to find it. The book of Revelation, I went to the book of Acts. Listen, every time there's an earthquake in the earth, it means because something happened in the heavens. Go look. And because the earth is still a living organism birthed out of the heart and mind of God Himself, every time I believe we have an earthquake today, the earth is still moving and living. It's unfortunate that people die and things get destroyed. I don't like that any more than you do. You know, my human compassion, you know, it just will mess you up. But that means something was moving in the heavens. Come on. It says there were thunders and lightnings and voices and earthquakes. Even Paul and Silas, listen, yeah, they were in a physical prison, right? But I'm going to tell you what. You and I sing, and we don't cause earthquakes yet, but they hit a note in the third heavens that caused an earthquake that the Father said, watch this, just like them three Hebrew children, there are no bonds anymore. Now, you know what I always appreciate? They didn't run. They already knew they were free. They already knew. Father, we love you. I could preach all day. I'm sorry. We worship you, God. That's the key right there. I'm going to tell you what. If we can just step into that. I mean, the more you praise Him, you know, some folks, well, it's not how loud you do it. I'm going to tell you what. He gave me a voice. I'll be as loud as I possibly can. Father, we bless you today. For God, your Spirit is amongst us. And God, we try not to move just by revelatory knowledge, but Father, that your Spirit will move in the midst of these words. And like the breaking of bread, God, let it be eaten. Let it be devoured. Let it become life and substance to us. That God, you may fulfill every word you ever thought and spoke. Because God, your word has been determined not to return to you void. And that's why you had your prophets declare it from the beginning. And then the writer in the book of Hebrews declares some must enter in to fulfill every word, God, that you have promised. I really believe this. The more we love Him, the easier it gets. No matter how much trouble you might have around you. Because a superstructure is being built. Lord, I bless this people. I declare it. For not only are you the Father, but you're the Son. Not only are you the foundation, but you're the structure. You're the all in all. And everything was made for you, God, that you might be the, watch this, sign and wonder in a people. The brightness, the illumination. The truth of the matter is a true miracle by changing us. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. Bless the people. All the saints declare, amen and amen. Amen.